Good morning, this is Don Air Rollins. Part of the Don Air Rollins Don Air Rollins show is me interviewing people that some people would not necessarily get to talk to. Voices that sometimes people don't necessarily need to hear or want to hear. Not need to, but want to hear. But I found through my travels that you learn a lot by listening and talking to people. I'm doing my morning coffee run, and I ran into, what's your name?
Kenny.
What's up, Kenny? Where you from?
I'm from L.A.
You from L.A.? Kenny, just casually, can you turn your music down just for a second?
Yeah.
I was walking past and I heard you read something that kind of resonated with me. Can you turn the music down? Share to me what you were reading and what it means to you.
I was reading about how, meaning caring, and it means to me that when you say, like, how you doing, that's caring.
Come on. You're welcome.
Anything else to elaborate? Good, that's morning. Just it?
Well, I mean, it's like when people say, what does how mean? It means a person that's caring, like, how you doing, or how was your week, or how was your day, you know?
So do you think that is attributed to people with negative energy or positive energy? I've got to learn how
it
to...
It could be both.
But from your experiences, it hasn't been both. From your experiences, it's been negative, right?
Yeah.
So you were reading something. Is that off of Facebook, or what was that?
No, it was off of Google.
Could you read that to my listeners?
Okay. Making caring an action word, you can only truly care if you do something for others. A caring person is considerate, kind, compassionate, and generous. That people always take into account how decisions, words, and actions are given to affect the people.
That is the definition of caring. And when you say to someone, how can I help? How was your day? How's life treating you? Correct?
Correct.
All right. And with that attitude of caring, when I asked you to be a part of this conversation, what did you say to me?
I was like, what do you mean?
No, that's not what you said. Tell them what you really said. When I said, it's going to be for my podcast.
Oh, it's like, do I get paid?
This motherfucker care about getting paid. Don Air Rollins, the Don Air Rollins Show. I'm not just talking to celebrities. I'm talking to celebrities in your mind, my mind, and their mind. Don Air Rollins, I'm out. Why the fuck are you keep trying to get me to pee?
Did y'all say, we're pausing so I can
I know, pee. But this is like the fifth time you trying to get me to pee. You got a dick cam or something in there? I don't need to pee. I'm good.
I don't, but I know.
I release fluids in a mental way.
Too. Are we going?
I remember. We was.
Where's my drink?
I mean, no, we're not drinking.
I didn't say that kind of drink.
We're not drinking. But so. Some spring water, some seltzer water, didn't you? You mind grabbing it? Didn't you make me some seltzer water?
How do you make seltzer water?
Didn't you make me a drink of seltzer water?
Oh, no, I didn't. Did you want it? I offered it and I never did it.
What?
I didn't know if you wanted it. I have seltzer water. I'm drinking seltzer water if you'd like to try mine, but there's lipstick on it.
I don't want your seltzer water. I wanted my own seltzer water.
I'm making you a seltzer water.
I wanted a water with from Lil Fuzz. Go ahead. And I'm going to talk until you come back. Thank you.
You want ice for your seltzer water?
Yes. So, Don Air Rollins Show at it again. This is the only show that it's like the Jerry Seinfeld of podcasts. It's a show about nothing. That's a good thing, right? And we got the white.
Say that, is that copyright?
Yo, it's not. Is it copyright? Is it copyright? White. Rick Rubin. Rick Rubin. What's your producer name, son?
MF.
Nah, man. We gonna get.
We can't. Yeah, we'll get Doom. We'll get the Doom.
MFDD. Nah, something else. Something else.
I gotta earn it.
Huh? Rubin. All right. Double D. Double D, then it's gonna people think we talk about titties and
it's
shit.
Deary.
Deary, yeah. Deary. Deary on the ones and two. We can't put you on anything? On the headphones, Deary.
Oh, we'll get me on. Yeah,
we
yeah.
got to make it cool, though.
Got to get the producer can. I got to get the NPC.
What about a Wu-Tang? What about a Wu-Tang? You want a Wu-Tang name?
Of course.
We got a Wu-Tang name. Kate, could you do a favor?
Come up with a Wu-Tang name?
No, go to the Wu-Tang generator.
All right, David Goldchain. That's my name. David Goldchain. That's all I want to be. Got to give me a big-ass gold chain.
David Goldchain. Nah, man. That sounds Jewish as
that's
shit.
That's the Jewishest Wu-Tang name. That's what I was going to say.
David Goldchain.
You could, how about something like Master Flash?
That sounds perverted.
I know.
You know, that sounds like, yo, this dude goes down the street with a London fog on his shit.
What's the Wu-Tang generator? Is that an app?
A Wu-Tang generator is an app because the Wu-Tang Clan is so popular that people wanted to be connected to the Wu-Tang. And they wanted to be a part of the Wu-Tang. So they came up with this generator that when you put your name in, it generates the name if you were a part of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay, I'm putting in his name, David Deary, and we'll see what it generates.
Yeah, and I want mine too. Do yours.
You've never done yours?
I did it, but I can't remember. I did it on Rogan's podcast, but I can't remember what it came out. Somebody said, old dirty, interrupter. I didn't think that was funny.
That's perfect. O-D-I. I don't really like what you got. You got witch slashing.
Nah.
Yeah. Sorry. All right, your turn, Donnell.
No, what was the one you just said?
David Goldchain.
David Goldchain.
What about the
Dizza? I like the Dizza. Ooh, that's good. I like how we won't let him
choose. Nah, you can't do the Dizza. You can't do the Dizza, man. It's gonna be you can't disrespect the Izza.
I don't want a Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
I don't want a Wu-Tang.
You don't want no Wu-Tang, man.
Nah, I don't want a Wu-Tang.
The Dizza is this close to the Rizza, and then people go like this. Yo, then they're gonna be like this. Yo, he kept interrupting the Dizza.
I got it.
Yo, Donnell Rawlins totally ruined the Dizza's podcast. I could see the troll motherfuckers. Yo, man, we was waiting 2.5 weeks to finally get an interview with the Dizza. And you just fucked it all up with all your Rick Rubin comments and shit.
Just call me Producer Dave, man.
Producer Dave, that's the producer.
Wait, but I just looked up your Wu-Tang name and I really like it, but we could let him use it since we're going to call you Donnell.
Producer Dave?
Producer Dave.
PD.
All right, we can start that. That's going to have to grow, though.
I have to earn it, Donnell. You have to give me something.
Yeah, we can give you a traditional.
I still like Double D. I don't think that sounds like boobs. It could be
like
multiple things. Whatever. Fine.
We're going to. Yeah, I get one.
Your Wu-Tang name is Predictor Tiptoe.
Predictor Tiptoe.
I kind of like that.
That sounds like a snitch.
If you want a Wu-Tang name, RZA got to give it to you.
Yeah, RZA got to
do it. This generator sucks.
Yeah, RZA got to do. I know this might sound crazy, but put Ashy Larry in there. Let's see what this joint. See what Ashy Larry's Wu-Tang name is.
Then that Korean lady from the last episode is going to call
N-U-I-C-O,
back.
N-U-I-C-O. They got Hyungnim. They got Dr. K. Arso. Arso. Yobaseo.
I'm doing it. Sorry, I exited it. Ashy. Is Ashy with just a Y? Yeah, okay. Ashy. There.
How else do you spell Ashy?
Could be E-Y. Pheasant Tough.
Pheasant Tough.
Nah, can man, we just, can't just be
not
Pheasant?
Not Wu-Tang, but Pheasant. I just.
Fuck
I'ma
this get, app. They probably
I'ma
didn't
get
make
my
the
own
app.
Name. I'm going to get my own name.
You have a name.
So this is the second time we sat down and talked to people that we don't know and trying to get them to find out who we are. And trying to get them to be interested enough for them to either praise us or to just straight up troll us. How you feel like we did for the first time?
I thought the first episode was good. I mean, we're learning it. I was nervous at the beginning.
About?
Like you were nervous.
Oh, it's because I'm black?
Yeah, that's
why. That's the oldest one in the book.
That's what it was.
Nah, nervous because of what?
No, not nervous. I guess just like it takes a minute to be yourselves. Especially in this format.
Especially when you have people that want to criticize you and just come at you for anything. It does take a minute. But as I learned, continue.
No, but I just think like the thing is, you said on the last episode, or maybe you said off the air, but you said that you want to podcast with people that you have chemistry with, that you're friends with, that you think are interesting. Not necessarily like I would rather do it with someone like you that I love and have a good friendship with than like somebody.
I just want a podcast because I know like you have a lot of podcasts, a lot of formats where some people stay step outside of. I know I think Theo does it, Chris D'Elia, but you have a situation where everybody wants you to interview a one person, this person, like, who you gonna have on next? Who you gonna have on next? But, you know, I would like to, if I had a preference on how I would interview, what the criteria was, it would be people that I wanted to have a conversation with.
Like,
you know what
that.
I mean? Like, you know, interested people, like, you know, you like, you on a train or something.
I'm so with you. I used to when I was on the road, Periscope gas station attendants and just like grocery store baggers. Cause sometimes yeah. they got, everybody sometimes has a story.
Everybody got a story.
Especially you're in the middle of nowhere working at a gas station off the freeway in, like, you know, bumfuck Mississippi. Those people have lives and shit.
I know. They probably have a whole bunch of those. You had a, what is it, a gas station?
Gas station, truck stop. I love truck stops.
Oh, my God. I know them old ladies that work in the truck stops late at night be like, all right, Tom, you can put that away. It's not going to do anything to anybody.
That's hilarious.
They probably so used to dealing with perverts and shit like, all right, Mr. Pinky, you want to put that away? So you want, well, how much you want to pump 15?
Put that away.
Why you like truck? Oh, my God.
I love truck stops. When I was a kid, I used to, like, go to truck stops as a teenager and just hang out because it was open all night. I lived in Ohio. There's nothing else to do.
You hung
Walmart
out
all night.
At truck stops.
Yeah, like 16, I would go.
I don't know how smart that was.
It was fine. I lived in a small town.
You just hung out? And
most people are good people.
At a truck stop?
Anywhere.
Late at night?
Anywhere.
Man, a truck stop late at night?
You don't know.
I'm not judging.
Mostly just truck drivers.
I've never heard a good, great story. I've never heard a great story at a truck stop late at night.
Nothing ever happens in the diner. I'm in the diner, not just a parking lot. I'm not like trolling the parking lot. I'm like having coffee and like writing.
Oh, that's probably like the only spot if you're in like one of these off towns too.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I could understand. Walmart. I could see that.
I still love shopping at truck stops. Do you ever stop when you're on the road?
What could you possibly...
Hats. Best hats, I'm telling you. And stuff for your car.
No, people got upset at me. The only thing I ever want to get for my car is black ice. And I've heard people really talk shit about me. They were like, what am I, a pimp from the 70s?
What is black ice?
Black... You don't
besides
know
black, on the road. You mean on the road?
No, black ice. The air freshener, black ice.
Oh, I didn't know.
You don't know about black ice?
Uh-uh.
You've never been in a car
black
and smelled...
Black guys?
No, not black guys.
I know about that.
Black ice. Well, if you know about black guys,
what
you know
black
about
ice?
Black ice. It's like... It's an air freshener. You know, like the air freshener. I don't know what the company is, Wick or whatever, like the tree, Christmas tree joints.
Yeah, the ones that hang, the little
ones
cardboard.
That hang. They have like new car scent. They have like vanilla aroma, clean cotton. And then they got black ice.
Oh, I never heard of the black ice.
Black ice.
What's it smell like?
Oh, man. It just smells like it belongs in a Cadillac. It just smells like your the way you speak to people is going to be different. You know, it just smells like when you would say something like, when you would say something like, hey, what's up? Like, what's up? It would be like, what's up?
Black guys, like Stevie
I don't
Wonder.
Know. I don't know if what it releases in your brain is something, but it's something about, if anybody can contest to that. When you have black, if you have black ice in your car.
I got to get it. I'm writing it
black
down.
Black ice, yeah.
We're going to have it on the podcast as the air freshener.
Yo, that could, can we get black? I don't know. We're going to get black.
Why
yo,
can't we?
We don't have no sponsors. Yo, we don't have no sponsors. I know some people are going to be upset like, yeah, I was cool with them until Black Ice started to sponsor them. You know, it's going to be like this. Oh, is that the Black Ice, the Black Ice station?
Is it like it blows through the vents or is it like the tree cardboard one that hangs?
It's a cardboard one
that
hangs.
I love that shit.
But it just smells so, I don't even know if there's a pure black smell. Maybe we could
a find black smell
like a black
like quintessential like
if it,
classy
if it smells
black.
Like African, if it smells, I don't know if it smells tribal, I don't know what it smells like.
What
I mean, I know what it smells like, but I just don't know how to describe it.
Well, I mean, you did a pretty good job. You said a cat. I think the Cadillac thing is like a classy
with red leather interior. So, and I'm not talking about like a Cadillac
the old
today.
One, does it bounce like in the old like Dre videos?
Yeah, I think so.
It smells like weed.
Like Black Ice would probably be in like in B Real's car. Any lowrider, I think, would have Black Ice in it.
All right.
But we gotta figure out what it's
next
really
time at the
like.
Truck stop. I'll try to get some. I've been driving to a lot of my road gigs.
Yo, if you still stopping at truck stops,
yeah,
you're looking for some trouble.
No way. Truck stops are awesome.
Not late
at
night.
I love truck stops.
Not late at night.
Anytime. People shower there and sleep there.
people get blowjobs at truck stops.
You're thinking that's of like what low I know. Rent ones.
When
that,
man, when I
I'm
think
talking
about,
like pilot.
When I think about truck stops, I think, I know this is wrong. When I think about truck stops, I think it's a place where truck drivers go to load up on their cocaine, get a quick blowjob, fill up their tank, get a couple hours of sleep, and then drive another 25 hours and do the same thing. Maybe I'm wrong.
I never see hookers there, and I'm there a lot.
You don't see a hooker there because they're in those cabins.
Well, they probably wander the lot. I'm inside where the showers and stuff are. They got great showers.
Truck stop. You know what happens at truck stops? People jerk off at truck stops. What's the dude's name? George Michael?
That was not at a truck stop.
It was a truck stop.
I thought it was in the park.
No, it was a truck stop. He was in there walking around.
What? Why would George Michael somebody be at a truck stop? Are you sure? We got to Google
this. He was looking for dick flashes.
I thought that was in Central Park.
Google where
did George Michael get caught jerking off?
No, yeah, jerking off or anything. I don't know what's going to come.
Where did George Michael get caught jerking off?
Siri's not going to know.
I asked Google.
He didn't get caught jerking off. I thought he got caught like he was doing something that the law thought was inappropriate.
Will Rogers State Park. That's not a truck stop. Will Rogers State Park. I've been there. That's up the street.
Like at a, oh my God, that makes it even worse.
But I like that the first thing that came up about him is George Michael caught passed out in his car again.
When you get caught like with it out there like that, you probably be stressed out.
Well, all I know is I get it what you're saying, but I just like talking to strangers, dude. I still do it all the time. Don't you just like me? Because 99% of them are just, you know, regular people. Occasionally there's a scary one.
It's scary, but they have listen. Everybody has an interest in life. Everybody has their eyes open to something. Everybody has something that they saw that they want to share with you, you know? And I don't think that that's just limited to celebrities.
Exactly.
You know? And a lot of times with celebrity interviews, it's like you hear the same stories over and over and over and over and over again. That's why I like, what does Siri say?
Siri's recording everything you're saying.
Wait a minute, how the fuck did this just happen?
Because you were going to look up where did George Michael get caught jerking off, and then it kept going. It doesn't matter.
Oh my God, that's scary as shit.
No, it's fine. You're good.
And I got this goddamn face app to open my phone up.
Yeah.
Do you do that on your phone?
Hell no.
I'm nervous as shit, man.
I don't want people to be able to FaceTime me, open my phone with my face. Like, I do the fingerprint. Although if you're asleep, somebody could totally just take
if
your phone.
If you're up, I was so nervous about this phone because I got it. I was like, why the fuck does this phone keep opening up? And I forgot that I put my biometrics in for it to open, but it makes me nervous because I sleep with my
eyes open. I dated a guy that did that. It freaked me the fuck out.
What?
It freaked me out. He slept with his eyes open. My ex-boyfriend, I literally the first night thought he was dead.
Did you try to do, I know that feels like what you do when you RIP somebody, but
did
you
try to close his eyes?
Yeah.
No, I didn't think that was really my place to do that. No, but they were like wide open. Are yours all the way open?
I don't know. It all depends what night. If I had a crazy night, they could be wide open. You know what I'm saying? Night. Like if I had a TMZ night, it could be wide open. I don't have really those funny. Too often. Well, nah, every once in a while.
TMZ,
I feel like TMZ stalks me.
Yeah, for sure. But that's because you go places where, like, they know people are going to do shit.
I have two TMZ interviews, one in the daytime and one in nighttime. The daytime is usually clear and concise.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But the nighttime one is like, yeah.
The daytime one's like you're coming out of Whole Foods. You're buying
but the
organic
thing about it, Chappelle even
shit.
Said to me once, Chappelle said, yo, why do you go, like, he said, Donnell is the only person I know that will get lit and just go interview with TMZ.
Yeah, you do. You just did it at the Comedy Store the other night. Do you remember?
I wasn't lit.
You were, well, no, but we were there for a while drinking, yeah. I mean. I would
so
never
that's
do
just
it
the same though. As goddamn lit.
It's
God
the same
damn,
as doing
gotta,
a podcast.
You got to get some code words like we were not lit. We were in an altered state.
Lit is like super fucked up, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, lit is super fucked up. But it was an altered state.
Yeah.
But they roll up on you. They just roll up. And then people like I've had some good ones and some bad ones. But it's funny because people want to be judgmental. But I'm like, you know, you got me coming out of the peppermint. You got me coming out of a place where people go to have a good time. It would be something different if motherfuckers caught me like, yo, we just saw Donnell come out of church, you know, and he was stumbling and he was lit. Then I could understand what your concerns
would
be.
That'd be a great interview, though. I would love to watch that interview. I think you should just not probably talk to him at night.
I don't know. It's interesting.
But you never say anything bad.
never say anything bad. I say things as the interrupter. I say things that are interesting to me. I say things that are on my mind.
That should be your Wu-Tang name, the interrupter.
That is, yo, I'm gonna tell you, that's so funny because somebody did give that name. Do you know, and these are the friends that I deal with.
All right.
The type of friends I deal with.
What?
Do you know Charlamagne?
No, who's that?
Charlamagne is a black podcaster. He's a spiritually connected dude. He's an author. He writes books about mental health and shit.
Oh, that's cool.
And black people love him. He calls white people crackers. But not in a bad way, but in a way where he could justify why they're crackers. But we friends, and I've been on the Breakfast Club like a lot. I think I'm probably the most interviewed person on the Breakfast Club.
Is that his podcast, The Breakfast Club?
No, that's not. It's his platform. That's the platform that blew him up. He's really big time now. You know, he's changed his complexion.
I gotta see.
He started when he first started.
Charlamagne, changed his complexion.
Yeah, he lightened his skin. That's
You're
what the
joking.
That's what the street's saying.
You're not serious.
His name is Charlamagne the God. Okay.
Okay.
He's a very popular personality now. He's into mental health. He has a lot of white friends now. He's on CNN and a lot of other things. But so he listened to the podcast I did with RZA and Joe Rogan, and he was a hater. He joined the bandwagon of calling me an interrupter.
Serious
He joined
hater?
The bandwagon of telling me to shut the fuck up. He was like, all right, then, but we started, this is how it started. He insulted me.
And you guys were friends, right?
I mean, if you want to call it friends, is a very shaky word. Okay, this is what happened. He insulted me,
uh-huh.
Right? And then I, in return, insulted him. He insulted me through text message. I insulted him through what I do. I go memes. I meme you to death. I'm a meme you. I'm going to me and Bearded Humor. We're going to step it up. My man, Bearded Humor, is one of the dopest meme motherfuckers out there.
Yeah,
so
is.
If you get us mad, we're going to meme you. So this is
God.
How this conversation started with scrolling and tell me what you see.
Can I read this?
Yeah, but look at what picture you see first.
Yeah, I saw this. I didn't know who these people are.
So,
what the hell
right,
is
on the
this?
Left, on the left, that's Malik Yoba.
Okay.
Malik Yoba just recently came out and explained his affection toward men. I mean, toward women, sorry. And his affection toward he's trans attracted.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people supported. In fact, a majority of people supported. But there were some people that didn't support him saying he was training attraction because some people just not going to understand.
Sure, of course.
So Charlamagne the God, I don't know why they call him the God. I would never worship him. So he had on his show Flamin' Monroe. Flamin' Monroe is a very popular, funny, transgender,
okay.
Female or male. I don't know the difference unless I see a dick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you call it. Female, shemale, I don't know. I don't understand it. That's
not
my ignorance.
Not shemale.
But that's my ignorance. I know that.
I know that.
So I did a meme of what I thought that interview was, and it's very funny. But then Charlamagne, now you read this.
Okay.
This is how it started.
Are we going to... All right.
You can start.
He wrote one of the best.
You're gonna read the emojis.
Wait, you're the blue, right?
Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm black.
I mean, on the text, that's your side.
Yeah. This is me being sarcastic.
Yeah, yeah. You sent him a meme of the people you were just talking
Malik
about.
Malik Yoba.
Yeah, and the girl. What's the girl's name again?
Shala Flamin' Monroe.
Who's that?
That's DJ Envy. He's just light skinned.
So you just threw him in?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. One of the best interviews you ever did. Oh, he sent him that meme.
Being sarcastic.
One of the yeah. And the guy sent back a bunch of smiley faces. The God. Can I call him the God?
You can, but I won't.
Okay.
Leonard.
And then what, you sent him a clip of you on RZA?
No, that's not me on RZA. If you follow the story of me on Joe Rogan podcast with RZA, RZA promised that he was gonna give me some music or intro music for my podcast.
Yeah.
And that is just an MP screenshot file of that image.
Oh, so you just sent him that to be like, hey, bitch.
I'm trying to say, yo,
trying
fuck
to tell
out
me,
my face.
Yeah, get right. out of here. He loves me.
Right.
Okay.
Not love me, but he fucks with me.
You wrote that moment when RZA sends you beats for your podcast. Stop playing with me. N-word.
Go
I
ahead.
I can't say that.
You go ahead.
That's
N-word.
It.
Good call.
Fake news. He wrote back, fake news.
Right.
You wrote, okay, watch me work. And he said,
"For words, watch me work." When someone says "watch me work," it means I'm about to get in my,
what?
I'm about to get into my energy. I'm about to watch me work. Like, okay, watch. I'm about to. You'll
I can
see.
Do. You want me to do it more in your voice? Watch me work, son.
That was racist, but go ahead.
No,
yeah,
that
do,
was
yeah,
you.
Do my voice.
That wasn't racist.
Do it, yo. Do my
How's
part.
Every...
Do my part.
Oh,
in my voice.
Okay. Right. And he said, "I like how Joe Rogan just kept talking when you would try to interrupt him. RZA should have did the same." Ooh, that, he mean.
He's a mean motherfucker. Go ahead.
You go, M-word, I'm winning, son. You spelled it wrong. You actually wrote whining. Do you know that?
Why don't you auto-correct my shit, man? You read it. Just correct it.
I'm whining. I'm whining, son.
I said I'm winning, son. Go ahead. I said I'm winning, son.
And then he said good morning.
Sarcasm.
And you said, stop following this cracker, son. You actually wrote son that time.
What I said?
Before I added son.
No, what did you say?
Stop following those crackers, son.
Okay, my question to you is, why is it that you didn't call crackers?
Because no one uses
the C word.
Because we don't care.
So it's not offensive.
No, I don't even understand where the term comes from. I'll have to Google it sometime.
Crackers. Crackers don't hurt anybody. Crackers is such a lame word that when you upset,
I love crackers.
You got to say cracker ass cracker to even try to make it mean anything.
I mean.
But he didn't mean anything racial, but he just was like, you know, that was.
Why is cracker even an insult? It's like what you have with soup.
It's not really insult. It was just the white community is like this. I know you guys are so upset about the N word. Let us help.
And we picked crackers.
And yeah, you picked crackers.
We picked the shittiest word.
We couldn't punctuate it. We couldn't really stamp it.
We should have a way better word than that.
We had nothing physical.
Can we come up with a better word for us that's like cooler sounding or has
Producer Dave. Producer Dave. All right, what else?
Okay, then you said to him, stop following those crackers, son. N-word's been talking about that since it happened. I'm about to do a collab with RZA.
Okay, now that's what I'm saying. Like, while he's trying to hate on me, like, did somebody say there's no such thing as bad publicity? So I'm like this, as crazy as that was, people are talking and I'm going to jump on it and I'm going to ride that wave. That's my translation of my own translation.
Then he said, nah, you was really doing a lot of interrupting. And then you wrote, so what? I'm an interrupter.
Exactly, motherfucker. My whole life I've been an interrupter. From grade school, I've been an interrupter. From report cards, I've been an interrupter. When I was in the military, guess what I was? An interrupter.
I would get so mad when we hung out because you would talk, and then I'd say one thing, you'd be like, you talk too much, and now you listen.
Right, I'm learning, but that's what I'm saying, is like, there's nothing new that I'm an interrupter. I'm in the field that people interrupt in. But go ahead with the continued hate
from
Charlamagne.
Okay, you said I'm an interrupter. He actually sent a laughing emoji at that.
All right, now he's getting soft now, because he know my shit is funny. He know my shit is funny, but now he got to like fess up to it.
Well, that was funny. I'm an interrupter.
Thank you.
And then you said, when the last time you listened to one of your interviews? And he said, I don't interrupt. I let people talk, son.
No,
he called you son back.
No, Charlamagne, you let people talk after you've talked for 30 fucking minutes. For 30 fucking minutes, you finally let people talk because you need to take a breath somewhere. That's when you let people talk. You don't let people talk and no back and forth. Look at the tape. Go to the videotape.
We really should let him like talk and defend his side of this.
I don't want him to defend his side. His side doesn't matter. His side is in that text.
All right, fine. And then he said, I don't interrupt. I let people talk, son. And you said, everybody has a different fighting style. Wu-Tang.
Right, motherfucker. Wu-Tang, niggas, different type of woos. I'm a different type of woo. You got an energetic woo. Riz is a chill woo. You know, Ghostface is like a thuggy, sexy woo. And I'm not saying that, no homo pause. I know how many bitches love fucking the whole Wu-Tang clan. You know what I'm saying? But my fighting style is different. That's the point I made.
He said it was very insensitive of you to say the late, great. No, it wasn't.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Say it again.
He said it was very insensitive of you to say the late, great Nipsey Hussle was a sock N-word.
Okay.
Listen to that. Can I defend you?
Oh, my God. I have a white woman defend me on sock N-word.
Yeah, because first of all, okay, this is why.
And
because,
I'm not going to interrupt. I'm going to listen.
Okay, because I listened to it, and you were talking about how like people would hustle on the come up and he used to buy expensive socks uptown or whatever and go downtown sell them or the other way around. I don't know. And you were totally joking. You said because RZA was saying he would do that with like what drugs or whatever he was selling.
What he was trying to do, and this was so reminiscent of the Chappelle show, Wu-Tang Financial. He was giving you a lesson on the economic structure on being an entrepreneur in the hood.
Yeah, he was basically saying we would go to this one neighborhood and buy stuff. It didn't have to be drugs. It could be socks. And then he said, like one of you said, Nipsey Hussle used to sell socks. It must have been you.
Nipsey Hussle used to, him and his brother, that's when I said it, when I said,
but I'm going to defend you before you say anything. But then you, the minute you said he was a sock and word, you went, rest in peace, Nipsey. I mean, you said so much good shit about him. It was obvious you were kidding and everybody laughed. But there was no disrespect.
I wasn't kidding about that.
No, what I meant kidding.
What I'm saying, when I said that, when I was like, when I said Nipsey Hussle was a sock nigga, the reason I meant that because that was his hustle. You know, he wasn't out robbing anybody. That was his hustle.
Yeah.
Him and his brother, Black Sam, would come together. They get a couple of boxes of socks. They break it down, put it in another different type of packaging. Because they took the effort of going to get them, they would charge up and they would do that and they would get more money and they invested in themselves. And that's what I was trying to say with it. It wasn't about the sock niggas.
Yeah.
It was the fact that the entrepreneurial mindset of someone that thinks like that.
I think it's a compliment.
Right.
Because you're just saying he hustled so hard.
But Charlamagne is a hater. What did he say after
your
that?
Your face went. Use your face to wake this up.
Hold on. Swipe. Oh, you almost tried to get in my shit. Hold on.
I don't know.
Wait a minute.
It locked.
Wait.
Okay, here we go.
Do you remember what you asked?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah, he said it was insensitive of you.
Right.
And then you said,
so disrespectful.
The streets felt that. He did sell socks.
What did I say? What did I say?
You know, I was like,
yo, go ahead.
I'll do your sensitive voice.
No, it's going to, my voice is about
felt
to change.
That.
No, do it again. What did he say?
You said the streets felt that. He did sell socks. That was him and his brother hustle. You can keep asking N-words the same questions, son. I'm building my own arc. You taught me that, son. My street creds are too strong, son.
Right up. Let me tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because Charlamagne is my friend. Yeah. When you hear friendship, you feel like...
You said I used the term loosely like 20
friend.
Minutes ago.
No, because I'm going to explain. Charlamagne is my friend. Like, you're my friend. We're friends.
Yeah.
Like, if you were doing something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I was like this, yo, I'm doing this. If you were doing something, you say, yo, D, I'm doing this. I want to bring some awareness to it. Could you blast this out? Could you tweet it for me?
Yeah, of course.
If you ask him, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And it was a particular video I was doing, and I asked Charlamagne to do it, and he wouldn't do it. And I felt insulted, right?
I've been there.
And then I felt insulted, but I didn't want to ask him. I'm not going to beg a motherfucker for anything. I felt insulted. But he said something, and I learned from it. He said, yo, son, he said, build your own arc. Right? Build your own arc. They'll come. And then guess what I said? Yeah, I understand that. That was some biblical shit. That was some biblical shit, and you're right. And I will build my own arc. But you said you was my nigga. So if you say you're my nigga, then... blast my shit.
I actually get that. I've had friends that are like my very, very close friends who sometimes I feel like there'll be a little Hollywood, like they won't share my thing, but they'll share someone more famous than me. And
yeah,
you're
it's like,
well,
you
like
ask yourself,
but you're my friend.
You don't get mad about it, but it's whatever.
You remember it.
But with that, is like when I said Nipsey was a sock nigga, I didn't want anybody to misunderstand it. That's why I said RIP, you know, because
yeah.
he was an entrepreneur. And let me explain, like my first... first meeting Nipsey Hussle from the East Coast. When Nipsey Hussle first came out, he looked a lot like Snoop Dogg. He had the West Coast vibe. He had the locks. He looked like people would say a Snoop wannabe. You know what I'm saying? They look alike. They got the same West Coast vibe, and people necessarily on the East Coast didn't connect with him too much. Then as they got to know him, they saw his character and other stuff, they fell for him. He was like one, like when he was on the East Coast, you never felt like no shit like East Coast versus West Coast. It was just like a cool motherfucker.
Does that still exist, that rivalry?
Yeah, the rivalry doesn't exist. It's more camaraderie, more than anything, because people make levels of money now where you need each other, and then we found out that because of those beefs, we lost two great
amazing people, yeah.
And it was just stupid. And then people get older, and it doesn't make sense. But when I first met him, I was doing a show in Atlanta. I was with Dave Chappelle at the Tabernacle. And I was on stage, and Nipsey came through, him and one other person. And I was like, what up, Nip? He said, what up? He sat down, he watched the show, or at least my part of the show.
Yeah.
And then we had an intermission, and I had my man 40, shout out to 40. He was selling my merchandise downstairs.
Yeah.
So during the intermission, Nipsey went down to get a drink. And then when he came back and sat down, I noticed the motherfucker had 10 of my shirts.
Aww.
He had 10 of my merchandise.
Bought your shirts.
He bought my shirts. And the thing that I respect the most about
That's
how he
big.
Bought them, he didn't, you know our game.
He didn't say anything. He
just bought them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, my man was going to give them to him, like, huh, take these. You know, yep. But just the look from the audience and to see him, like, sitting there with my shit in his hand, like yo, I got your shit and a drink, and like not like give it to his assistant. Yep. Like he rocked with it because it meant so much to me, because I know the story of him and Jay-Z. Nipsey was one of the first person that decided to put a different price on a mixtape. He had mixtapes that he was selling for $100 to make it exclusive. I may be wrong on the number, but he thought outside the box and he wanted to make something special.
Yeah.
And he made these mixed CDs, and he met Jay-Z, and Jay-Z bought like 100 of them. Jay-Z bought enough of them from him where Nipsey took that money, invested, and put in something else. So for Nipsey to like pay it back like that to me, and that's why when I was telling that story about the socks, when I said Nipsey was a sock nigga, he was a sock nigga. And any nigga that ever sold socks understand what a sock nigga is.
I have to say that when I listened to it, and I told you this, I said, like, I didn't really know much about Nipsey Hussle at all until he died. Like, he was one of those people I didn't really ever even hear him. I mean, granted, it's not like I know a lot of rappers or anything.
But see, and that's what, and with you saying that, that's what, in depth, there's a lot of misery. There's a lot of heartache.
Yeah.
You feel pain for people. You hurt on the inside. And we could dwell on that.
Yeah.
We could really dwell on how bad death is and how bad death makes us feel. But we also can see what's born out of death.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
When totally.
When a tree dies and you take all the roots, you see something sprout.
Yeah.
It sprouted after death. And one thing, and it's unfortunate, you have to lose a life, and especially such a profound life, and every life means something, that you have to lose a life to respect another life. But in his death, it brought, like you said, people that didn't know him. Like you just said, and a lot of white people,
I never
they
heard
feel
of
that as like this. And I'm not being insulting when I say this. Like,
no,
I just thought he was a rapper. Everybody thought he was a rapper. But a lot of people thought he was a rapper. He was more than that. He was a visionary. He was an activist. He was a philanthropist. He was a lot of those things. And with his death, this is what we have to take away with death. Is like, how can we grow out of it? And what's different?
Huge.
And the fact that you knew him, and you knew him as a different Nipsey.
And I looked him up because of the way the black community responded to his death. Because, you know, I'm on black Twitter.
What you doing?
I don't know
on
how I got
Twitter.
On there. I
just, you know the fuck. You know exactly. Yo.
I don't know how I got on there, but I'm there.
Yo, you like, you don't know how the fuck you got on black Twitter.
I don't know how, but I'm there.
I don't
want to
take it. I'll take a wild guess why you on black Twitter.
The point is.
Okay, whatever.
But the point is, I
you, what are you doing? Oh my God, you on black Twitter is fucking
I don't know how I got on, but I am. It just comes up. But the point is, I looked him up more than I probably would have if, you know, if the outcry about his death wasn't so intense online.
It was so intense, and it's like, it's unfortunate, but, and I've said this on Rogan's podcast about, we are never ever guaranteed how long we be here in life, but one thing we guaranteed is we're born, we have a dash, and then we have the end. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, Nipsey, it might not be, you might not understand it, you talk to a senior citizen, but Nipsey lived a full life that was cut short. It was a full life.
I got chills.
But it was a full life that was cut short. And with that, it just, that energy has got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's got to go somewhere else. And that's the only point. And like, as much as people want to say on that podcast, and I'm not going to keep talking about the podcast, but I am going to keep talking about it. Because I think when I did Rogan's podcast with RZA, when I did Rogan's podcast with Rogan, I felt like a birth of a podcast.
I felt
like, as much as I put it off, and we were talking a while back about challenging your fears, as much as I put it off, something had to kick my ass to actually do it.
Well, you needed to respond to what was, it was like you had something you really wanted to say. Right. That's why. It's like, that's the whole reason you started.
Have you ever been super, super fearful of something? And you said, fuck it, and you challenged it?
Lots of stuff.
In the comedy.
Well, comedy in the first place. You know, when I started stand-up.
How long ago?
The first time was 06. The first time ever.
First time? What the fuck is the first time for comedy?
The first time I ever did stand-up.
Oh, I thought you meant the first time you did it. You mean the first time you ever went on stage?
First time I went on stage.
Okay.
What else is, what other version of doing it is there?
No, no. When you said it, this is what I thought. When you said the first time I did it,
I guess what I meant was because I started technically in 06, but I did it for like a year and then I got a contract doing a gig that was totally different. And for so like.
You started when you were six?
06, 2006.
Oh. Okay, this is, point. This is what I was saying. The confusion with me was when you said the first time I tried it, because you know how you hear
I get what you're saying.
Some comics are say, I tried it and I stopped. Like, I thought you stopped and I was going to be upset about that.
Well, I did kind of stop because I was on the road doing, I was emceeing shit and I was doing like Miller Lite commercials and I was like doing other shit.
Oh, doesn't you was matter. One of those girls?
It doesn't matter. Point is.
You was one of those Miller hot chicks?
I did like posters and stuff for me. But it doesn't matter.
I know those posters.
Back in the day. Those posters. I retired.
Yeah.
Point is, I used to get so nervous to go on stage and do comedy, I would throw up. Like, I wanted to quit all the time.
So you could be in front of people. You could be in front of people being beautiful, being sexy, but then with standing in front of somebody being funny, that was scary?
Well, that's the scariest thing because there's nothing else. Look, I'm good with people. I've always been good with people. That's easy. But
especially
being on
if you're
stage,
on Black Twitter, you're definitely good with people. Go ahead.
But like, the point is, I used to get really fucking so terrified, but I felt like it was the hardest challenge of my life, so I wanted to win it. Also, when I moved here, I was terrified. I didn't know one person here, and I never lived by myself, really. And I was, like, so scared. I mean, but now what's interesting is stand-up is, like, the most comfortable place I ever have. I'm way more, like, nervous now taking photos or talking to somebody one-on-one.
Really?
Yeah.
But how does it feel to be, like, in an industry where your looks, your beauty, your body could get you.
It's hard.
So it could get you so far ahead, or people can use it against you.
You know what? I don't think it's hard. Okay, here's the thing. You can't really complain about this without sounding like an asshole because it's like a champagne problem. Like,
yeah, it's like it's just
so hard being a hot white chick. I'm not saying I'm hot, but I mean it's like you can't. But at the same time, it is really challenging because you can't win if you fuck them. You can't win if you don't fuck them.
Right.
Because if you fuck them, let's just say you try to fuck your way to the top, which is dumb anyway, because you gotta, like, people that fuck comics and actors, like, they're not even close to the top. You gotta
fuck some people do. Some people do. I don't, I'm not saying we
start
to march for the ones that, but some women, not even women, some men fuck their way to the top.
Oh, sure, yeah. But I guess that what I'm saying is, like, let's say I fuck the president of a network, NBC.
What network, though?
Let's say NBC.
I'd
never be on that.
I thought you were going to say BET. I was like, this, you go both ways. Shout out to Deborah Lee. But go ahead.
I could. Deborah.
No,
get it. No, but what I was going to say is, like, let's say you do that, and something happens where they decide they don't like you. Or they don't want to be around you.
But if you position, I know this, and I'm not supporting that. I know that, but if you position yourself for the next relationship, that you got to do anything with them. But like,
you think that, but like, just trust me when I tell you, because the position I'm in, almost anybody I've had a meeting with at some point has hit on me, asked me out, or whatever.
Right.
If I said yes, it's
awkward.
I know
that's got to be annoying.
And if I say no, then sometimes their ego is bruised. They don't want to work with me, or they don't want to see me again. And it's not even about. It would be so much easier if someone came to me and said, hey, if you fuck me, I'll give you this movie. I'll give you this TV show. But it's so gray the way they do it.
No, I don't think it's gray. I think Harvey Weinstein had those conversations.
That wasn't gray.
No.
That wasn't gray.
I think he was direct to the point, maybe possibly. But you know what? It's like.
But you know, wait.
I feel like this, you know, as a person that like speaks his mind, whatever, and I'm not defending anything or supporting anything, you know, and I really believe that the industry really needed the Me Too movement, because as a man, you could start thinking things are normal that don't necessarily are really normal. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
You could start thinking like, you know what, she's cute. I'm pretty sure if I give her this role, it's gonna give me better chances of dating her. And I know in that respect that something had to happen, because men are so stupid and so ignorant that you think what.
You're just simple.
What do you mean?
You're not stupid. You're just like, you're a caveman. You're all at the end of the day, like, sex, hungry, mad, sports. Like, there's nothing else. Like, it's just simple where women are like, like, I don't, you're like me, you don't want anyone to not like you, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
Right.
So like, once someone starts to flirt with me at all, now it's like you're constantly in this game of, I don't want to hurt his feelings. Yeah. I also don't like him like that, but I got to flirt a little or he won't keep me around.
Oh,
but
you got to shut it down?
It's just, and then you're like, if I do shut it down and say something, like there was one comic way when I first.
But you know what? It's a way. I think that might be the point. There's a way to shut it down. I think there's a way to shut down. I may be wrong. I'm not a female. I'm not a hot white female. But I think it's a way to shut it down where it don't, people gonna yell at me. It don't have to be so abrasive. It don't have to be so like, fuck you, asshole. I'm calling the cops.
Totally, totally. You know what I mean? Totally like, agree.
That's it.
But that's also like, you're cool. Like, I've had some guys that have done shit that I was like, hey, you know, that makes me feel a little weird and we're friends and now you made it weird. But I've also done the same thing with guys that have been so butthurt and embarrassed or ashamed or whatever, and they will never talk to me again.
So what do you think? What I did, should there be some type of a app or just like a Me Too disclaimer app where you start using those with I, wherewith heareth known, furthermore more known as above to like be. But then that would be like, I really think that.
It's about your relationship.
It's a what?
It's about your relationship. Look, Joey Diaz and me, I told you that I met Joey the same way that you
did. Damn, that's so funny. We talking about Me Too and then Joey Diaz's name just pop up out of nowhere.
Well, no, because
I don't think he would like that segue.
No, he's fine.
Yo, he going to be he's like this. Fine. Yo, Kate, yo, I know you was going to talk about me, but could you at least let us get past Me Too?
Wait.
Yo, what the fuck? You know
no,
what I'm saying?
No,
yo,
I mean,
the
like
bitch
that.
Forgot about it for years. And no, now you bring that, it up.
Shut up. You're making it sound like you Me Too me. You didn't
no,
wait,
but
Joey
I'm just saying, think about your segue. No. It's like, but yeah, we're talking about guys and Me Too. You know Joey Diaz,
no, but
right?
But I'm saying it's about your personal relationship.
My personal relationship, he never tried to Me Too me.
Okay, wait.
But
wait,
I know Joey's been to parties. He'd be like, whatever's happening
no,
is happening.
No,
what the fuck?
He doesn't go to parties. Joey doesn't go to parties. No.
No, I know.
This is what
Joey
I'm
is the party.
Joey is the party. No, this is what I mean, okay?
I love that dude.
Joey is like family so close to me. He's never, in fact, he even when we became friends one time, even said to me, I hope you know that I love your heart and not all the shit all these people talk about. I mean, you're beautiful.
Yeah,
whatever.
He's like, I saw it, but I don't love it.
He's never really seen anything except
no,
for
no, not like that, but you know.
But wait, but one time I went to do his podcast. We're fucking around before periscoping, and
damn, that's not even working anymore. They don't periscope anymore.
I periscope.
You still periscope?
Hell yeah!
Only people that use periscope are people that are on Black Twitter.
Whatever. Fine. Okay. That's how I got there.
All right.
Okay. So anyway, I don't know exactly how it happened. You have to go watch it. But one thing led to another, and Joey took his balls out. But not in a Me Too way.
Wait a There's minute. Other wait people a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
On camera.
Wait a minute.
On
wait
camera.
A minute. Wait a minute.
It's all online.
Wait a minute. Wait
Let
a
me
minute.
Explain.
Wait a minute.
Let
There's
me...
no way you
Let
can say somebody put their balls out.
Here's how it went
Somebody
down.
Put their balls out and just like, then it's like, so then we're at the bar.
No,
what
okay,
happened?
Wait, okay,
he put
I'll
his
explain.
Balls
it.
Out.
Here's how what? It was
one
before
ball,
the podcast.
I know this is a very homo thing to say. One ball or two balls?
I didn't look because I ran. And
I hope he don't pull
yelled.
His balls out
okay.
on me when I go to his
it,
podcast.
He won't.
We gonna have a problem.
Well, he
sir.
Might if you ask.
We Wu-Tang forever, nigga. Fuck that, sir. Don't he know?
I'm trying to remember because Joey, one of his albums,
he put his balls out
listen,
on white people.
One of his album covers has his balls on it. Okay.
Oh my
so
god.
So somehow on the Periscope, he's talking about balls, and then Lee Sia, his producer, said something about his nutsack, and then Joey was like, "You want to see?" And I was like, "No." And I was like, "Absolutely not." And he's like, "Come on, you want to see?" I was like, "No." But me and Joey are such good friends that
he can have his balls out around you?
Not
Is that
long.
The type of friends you have?
No, but he did it to make me uncomfortable on purpose because it's funny, but like it wasn't sexual.
No, it's funny,
I
but I'll tell you
the
difference.
It.
I know that you can't make racial difference in all jokes.
No, if and you did that in that way, it would be funny too.
No, if I did it my way, it would be perverted.
No.
That's what my mind would think.
In that way.
But I'm saying in this way, this is the difference between certain humor, between black people,
I
white people.
Have told this.
And listen, I know people are gonna be like this, yeah, it's always black, white, but I'm just trying to tell you. What jokes go off in the white community and what jokes go off in the
He's
black
Cuban.
Community?
Cuban.
In a Cuban, white, we look at all the same shit. But you know what I'm saying?
That's
we
not true.
All right, that's it. But the perception is...
That's Hispanic.
Yo, it's white. It looks white.
No, it isn't.
What I'm saying, my point I'm making is that you'll never be able to make that funny in a room of
Listen.
Black dudes be like this. Yo, y'all want to see right. something funny? Yo, I'm gonna put my nuts in your face.
It's the way I'm saying
yo,
it.
Yo, you'll be like Wu-Tang, son. It's a, you said it how it fucking happened.
You're right. You had to
Joey
see it.
Joey Diaz.
That's not what I'm
up.
Saying. The point of the story is
that's your good friend.
He's like almost like father, like he's really like family. So, it, which makes it sound even creepier. Forget it.
You just
it.
Told a story. You told a creepy story. Can I tell you a story? I'm so not used to podcasts. Where are we doing on time right
now? Yeah, because wait, what time is it?
No, we ain't got to go.
I'm checking for me.
We got 10 minutes left. We got 10 minutes. We did a second podcast. We got 10 minutes left.
No, there's no cutoff. It's a podcast.
No, it's a cutoff because you keep on trying to tell us how busy your fucking day is.
I have a meeting.
I know. You got a meeting. We all got motherfucking meetings. We already got it. I got a producer.
Saying in the future, right. There's no cutoff.
I know it's no cutoff. Now you made me forget what I was saying.
Now I'm nervous about Joey.
You're nervous about Joey. So let me tell you. Dave Chappelle, and this is coming probably, I know it's not going to be the last time I talk about him. He's a good friend of mine. People are like, why you always not name drop Dave? I say, because he's one of my closest friends. And people love him. And we were in Milwaukee. And I've shared this story before. We were in Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater. And the Pabst Theater is a dope theater. They have fucking the dopest green room I've ever seen in my life. They got like a fucking a video area for like video arcade games from the 80s. They got an area with like 1,200 Technique speakers. I mean, turntables where you could play vinyl music. They got a fucking barista for us. They got every night, they got a different five-star restaurant bringing us food, tablecloth, and having somebody work with us. We had a pastry bitch. Not a pastry bitch, but a bitch that make pastries. Right, listen, I don't mean it like that. I'm saying, I didn't mean bitch in a bad way, man. That was the most, we had a bitch that make pastries, right?
I like the first episode. You said, I could never say bitch about a woman.
No, but
show.
In the right context. But listen, Julie was a pastry bitch name, right? So Julie was a vegan too. And I knew she was a vegan because she just, every time she said something, she was like, so excited. Vegans excited about every word they say, right? So every day she would say, Donnell, listen, she would say, Donnell, is there anything I can make for you? I said, yeah, I told her, I said, make me an apple pie. She said, that's pretty simple. I said, I was like, bitch, pastry lady, you asked me what I wanted, not what I could make. I was like, is that so simple? Make me an apple pie and put my name on the top of the apple pie. So she said, and she walked away, right? So the next day I go to work, and when I come to work, nobody's happy to see me because it's like the interrupter just showed up. When I come to work, nobody's happy. And at this day, everybody's all like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? Like something's about to happen. Like they want to be like surprised. I look at the end of the table, craft service table, and I saw from a distance what looks like an apple pie. And I don't know if this makes me gay, but I grabbed my heart. I said, I was so excited.
Why would that make you gay?
Because
like gay men,
I got excited about a pastry. Like, who gets excited about? I mean,
the fact that was your first thought to request. She's like, I'll make you anything. Because I'm apple simple. Pie.
I was simple because I'm not a pastry motherfucker. So I saw the fucking apple pie. I said, and I got close to the apple pie. I was like, oh shit, I can't believe this bitch made me an apple pie, right? And then when I looked in front of on top of the apple pie, it had my name on the apple pie. I was like, oh,
how
shit.
How much of your name? Just Donnell?
No, listen, it was Donnell. My dick got hard. No, like, yo, I saw my name on the top of apple pie. It was like bong bong.
Doesn't make you gay. It makes you weird as
no,
shit.
No, I'm weird, but I don't give a fuck. Anybody, if you get an apple pie and you see your name on it, you're going to get excited. I got excited. So listen, so I'm excited. I'm showing everybody this motherfucking apple pie. The security, motherfucking friends. Dave ain't come to work yet, right?
Oh, my God.
Dave come to work. And I had the apple pie behind my back. And I said, Dave, look, I got an apple pie. And he looked at me. He was like, so? And I was a little offended by that. Then I said, but it's an apple pie with my name on it. He looked me right in my face and said, Donnell, it's going to take every muscle in my body for me not to stick my dick in your apple pie.
That's amazing.
No, that's not amazing. That's not amazing. That's so disrespectful. And the thing about it was that he knew I had to go on stage in 2 minutes, right? So he yelled, he said, could somebody stick that pie in the microwave for 45 seconds? Not only was he going to put his dick in my pie, he wanted to be
warm
at the right
up.
Temperature.
Wait a minute.
So I'm about to go on, right? And I said, could somebody please keep
watch my pie?
My pie. And they said, no, Donnell, we're not paid to watch pies. I said, well, could somebody watch Dave's dick and make sure it don't go in my motherfucking pie? And this motherfucker said, yeah, we can do that.
See?
Right. And then Dave said, he said, Donnell, and my name, D-O-N-N-E-L-L. He said, I'm going to put my dick right on top of the L so that pie could just say done. That is the motherfucking friend. We're new to this. This is the Donair Rawlings Show. My girl Kate is in the motherfucking building. We're going to try to put a different perspective on podcasts. Or not even be different. We're just going to be ourselves. And we're going to talk to y'all motherfuckers. And we're going to share stories about Joey Diaz's nuts and Dave Chappelle's dick in my apple pie. We're going to see y'all next time. Don't you supposed to say subscribe now, hit the button or something?
Subscribe, like, and follow us.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Subscribe, like, and follow us. Black Twitter, bitch.
Black Twitter!
Yes.
That was great.
We're
good.
Yeah.
We're really good.
They fucking, y'all. How can they connect like that?
That's how